Bibles, but we in Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. Both Gospels have the birth of Christ in the chapter 2s, so it makes it pretty easy. So we're going to be kind of flipping between the two, so if you want to put your fingers between there, put a little piece of paper, your bulletin in there, and be able to flip back and forth as we follow along. But I don't know about you, but my heart really hasn't been in that Christmas mood like it usually is. Anyone else been that way? It just doesn't feel, and I don't know if it's because of, COVID and things are just different. A lot of things, it broke my heart when, we didn't have the carols in the round here, and I was thinking as we were singing, we didn't do Christmas caroling this year. We had some of the traditional type of Christmas type of things, you think about. Or, Thanksgiving was late this year, so we lost a week. So actually Christmas is closer to Thanksgiving than it was. I don't know. But it just hasn't been like it usually is. And I don't know about you, but kind of going to that sort of Christmas stress zone. You guys, my wife calls me Scrooge. But so many of our Christmas traditions, so many things that we pile on, actually have nothing to do with Jesus. There's a real secular aspect of Christmas. And those are the things that kind of feel like those hard pressures to go in and try to keep these traditions. I was listening to something the other day and talking about how, as kids, I remember we got usually like one big gift and then we got a few other, but compared to what kids get nowadays, the pressure is higher to get more. And of course the price on everything goes higher. There were years ago, Laura and I were shopping and she had some money to spend and we're going through and she came up and said, "Dad, is this an ouch? Is this an ouch item?" I said, "An ouch item? What are you talking about?" She goes, "Dad, every time I show you something I want to get, you look at the price and say, ouch." And I didn't even know where I was doing that, but so many things fall into that ouch items. And I was watching a show and some of them were trying to help parents explain to their kids that Christmas may not be as bountiful as previous years because we're so used to having so much and the economy's just hard on so many. All these Christmas stresses that come along the way. And some of it is like Christmas related, some of it's COVID related, some of it's just accumulation of everything. This past week, I had an opportunity, the church gives out meals to shut-in seniors in town here. And we have about 5 seniors that we provide meals for every week. And so Mark Emery's been doing that. And I told him I'd give him a week off, so I took the opportunity to deliver food. And so I went up, and one of the places was down here on Church Street, and I got out of my truck, left it running, I'm just going to drop this off, and I shut the door, and as soon as I shut the door's locked. Click. My vehicle's running, so my keys aren't in it. I was like, "Oh, well, let's call my wife. My phone is in there." Friday was cold. I did have a coat, but it was in the truck. And so luckily I had a sweater on, and I was, what should I do? We had someone to come take a look. We've had a leak in the roof here. And so I had to meet the guy here in about 20 minutes. I'm just down on Church Street, School Street. I'm like, where should I go? And Darren Moody, our local police officer, came to mind, because anytime I had to get into a vehicle, it was always a police officer who had a Slim Jim. So I went to his house. He was there, but he goes, "No, we haven't been able to do that for a long time because of the liability." So I walked up here. I was frozen, and you had to get it all in. My vehicle's running. I just, right? I was just like, one more thing. Just one more thing. But praise the Lord, I did have my extra set of keys at the house because the last time I remember seeing them, they were in my truck. So luckily they're up there. I was able to get in and end of story. But I was chilled to the bone for about mid-afternoon trying to warm up because it was just so cold out. And I was just thinking, all these stresses that we're all feeling. You're trying to do good, and you're trying to squeeze more things in, and it just feels like. And of course, preparing this message, it just reminded me in the midst of it all, no matter what's going on, that folks, we really are in this process of seeing God in the process of all this. And we turn around with the COVID, we talk about the elections. I know people are happy, upset. People are, you know, vaccines are coming up. Now people are excited about that. Other people are scared about, no matter what's going on, no matter where you are, there seems to be people who are just kind of searching for an answer, for a solution in the midst of all this. And really, for me, I think a lot of people are looking now more so than ever before, looking for God. That I think a lot of people's lives have been slowed down. I think things have been shaken up. I think that there's a lot of people trying to find meaning to all this. And I think God is really working in the middle of all of the stuff that's going on. And people are looking. And I always kind of find it interesting because people want to almost think like it's hard to find God. Can I tell you something? God is not hard to find. Actually, Jeremiah tells us this. It says, "And you will seek me, and you will what? Find me when you search with me with all your heart." God wants to be found. Amen? God wants to be in people's lives. He wants to be involved. People say, "Well, God, where are you?" The Bible talks about creation, right? Declares the glory of God. Tuesday night, I was joking around that we saw, you guys know that tomorrow is supposed to be the Christmas star. It's Saturn and Jupiter are supposed to line up. It'd be super bright. And so Tuesday, we were able to come down. I was coming down Church Street here, and we looked out, and we saw the two planets getting closer. But we've been trying to watch, but every night it's cloudy. And I watched the weather. They said Tuesday was all this is supposed to happen. It hasn't happened in 800 years. And so I'm praying, "Lord, let there be a little break because I have some time invested in this. I have given about a total of 5 minutes every night looking out my window." And so I'm like, "Pray, Lord, let there be just a clearing in the clouds just so I can see this one event, because I don't think I'll be around 800 years from now." But I was talking to someone, and they were just complex. They're like, "How in the world can they know that this happened 800 years ago?" And it's just by math that in here, our solar system, how it all works, the universe, these planets are on such a system that we can predict forward and backward. To me, I'm just like, this shows what an awesome God we serve, who created a universe that is in such sync that we can turn back time and know exactly where things are and when these things will next appear. I mean, it boggles my mind. What an awesome God we serve, to look and see. You ever held a newborn baby? With the little tiny, right? But to show these little tiny fingers and little tiny fingerprints and all these, and the system of this newborn babe and all the complications it is. The Bible says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." God can be found, folks. God can be found. But we need to realize that to find God, we really need to go and find Jesus. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. And we live in a day and age where people want to be spiritual. They want to talk about spiritual things, but they don't want Jesus because Jesus causes them to make a choice. Jesus causes them to realize that I'm a sinner who in need of a Savior. So what they want to do is find God without Jesus. The disciples posed Jesus this question, and Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Right? The disciples was, "Jesus, show us God." And Jesus said to them, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? God the Father is revealed through Jesus Christ, his Son. To find God, we find him through Jesus." Which brings us around to this Christmas season. That in here, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. We have those who sought him and found him. And this path that leads to Jesus is the same path we see today. If people who are seeking out the Lord have a very similar path to go down to. Now, people want to say, "Oh, there's many different paths to God." No, there's not. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Well, wait a minute, Pastor, that's awfully narrow. Well, it's interesting, Jesus covered that too. Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life." Amen. Jesus is the one true way. That's not narrow, that is the truth. Only through Jesus Christ. But this path that we go on through, we see, goes through hearing, coming, and then responding. Hearing, coming, and responding. And this path still exists today for those that want to find Jesus. First one is, they heard. Romans tells us, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God." For those that want to seek out Jesus, those that want to seek out God, in here, it goes through their ears by hearing the truth. And I cringe today because the modern church wants to talk about anything but the truth. And the truth is, we are sinners in need of a Savior. We, you know, this season, people say, "Oh, we all believe in baby Jesus." But why did he come? Because he came to save sinners. He came to die upon a cross. The journey to Jesus starts with hearing. Now we're going to talk about the wise men, we're going to talk about the shepherds. As they approached Jesus, both of them heard a message. Their circumstances were slightly different. The shepherds, their life was interrupted. And maybe you're in that category. When God called you, when he revealed himself to you, maybe you're off doing your own thing, hanging out, and God out of the blue revealed himself to you in a special way. Maybe there's a special need that was in your life. Maybe he used the circumstances in your life that you weren't expecting, but God's interrupted your life. God is good at interrupting your life. Right? You think you're going well. I'm okay. And then there's a loss, there's a tragedy that throws your life off the rails. God will interrupt your life. COVID has interrupted everyone's life. Right? I told someone, it feels like you're walking in cement because everything is just harder. Everything is just harder. This year for Christmas, there's a few things that we had ordered. And I ordered them out far enough out that they should have been here already. Following the tracking, some things haven't even been sent out yet. Some things are lost in the mail. I had something that ended up over in Machias. And they tried to deliver it to Church Street in Machias. Wrong church, wrong street, wrong person. I hope they enjoy it. You know? And so this Christmas, there's going to be a couple items that we're going to have to give a picture to, wrap up a picture of what this is going to come in the mail, right? Everything is just harder. Your life gets interrupted. Luke tells us this about the shepherds. He says, now they're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds had done this time and time again. They were down to a regular routine. My son-in-law works on a dairy farm, and they are very regular in their routine. Actually, you mess things up, you get behind schedule and all that. He said, you get about 250 cows, girls, upset with you. Because it's time. I asked them, I said, how do you, because it's milking time, and the cows will start lining up. Well, how do they? Because it's time. They know, right? Because of the routine that's set in. And when something happens on the farm, which often does, it interrupts and it messes up the natural flow of things. The shepherds' lives were interrupted that night with a message from God. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The shepherds' lives were interrupted. Would they listen? They could have said, you know, it's late. Right? We'll go check it out in the morning. They would have missed it. Maybe they said, you know, it's been a hard day. We're tired. We're just going to stay here. They're going to come up with all types of excuses. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like my life interrupted. Right? My wife and I were newly married. I prided myself on being spontaneous. Right? I was kind of that wild and crazy guy, you know? It didn't take long into our marriage. You know, we're in the car. We're going down the road. I'm like, hey, honey, you know, let's go do something. She goes, where are we going? I said, that will be a surprise. And then she looked at me and she goes, oh, we're going to go here and here and here. I was like, how'd you know? She goes, you become predictable. And that was just like stabbing me in the heart. The last thing I wanted to be was predictable. Right? And I don't think I've surprised her in 30 years. Right? I mean, I've just become predictable. I found out I kind of like routine. Right? Some of you are sitting in the same pew you sat on since this whole thing started, right? I could go next week and block off the different pews and mess you really up. But within the next week, you'll be finding your new place, right? We all find our routine. I found out something horrible about myself. Don't judge me. The other day, I was sitting in the bathroom and I noticed the toilet paper was the wrong way. Now, I like to say I'm an easygoing guy. That's right up there being spontaneous now, right? I found out I'm not an easygoing guy. Especially as I get older, I get kind of more stuck in my ways. I didn't even know there was a right way or wrong way for toilet paper until I saw it. I said, it's wrong. Right? I've become that person. And I don't want to be interrupted in my life. You know, so I had to, now, just so you guys know, it's, the toilet paper is supposed to have a beard, not a mullet. So it goes over the front, hangs down, and not over the back. Amen, all right. Now, some of you are like, pastor will pray for you, right? But I've become that person. I didn't even know this about myself. And so when God interrupts my life, sometimes it's so easy to kick in and say, well, God, I can't step outside my comfort zone. But God is good at interrupting our lives. And we have a question, will we hear? The shepherd's life was interrupted on the hill, and they heard the message. Will you? Now, the wise men were slightly different, the Magi. The Magi were seekers who were seeking. They were seekers that were seeking. Unlike the shepherds weren't waiting for an angel to show up. They're doing their own business. They're settling down for the night, and God interrupted their life. The Magi, the wise men, were seeking. They were looking. Matthew tells us this. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.'" They had come from the area of Babylon, traveling through because they saw the star. How do they know about the star? The book of Daniel is an interesting book. The book of Daniel often is referred to as the book of Revelations in the Old Testament. There's so many prophecies that talk about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming. Daniel was held captive there in Babylon. Now, here's the really cool part. The time of Daniel and the time of Christ being born is a little over 500 years. Book of Daniel chapter 7 just gives us a glimpse of some of that prophecy. It says, "And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one, shall not be destroyed." That here, the Magi, the wise men, saw this prophecy of a king that was going to be established. They saw his star. This has been passed on for 500 years, the teaching, and they had been waiting until they recognized it. They were seeking. And when they saw it, they followed the message that led them to Israel. They heard, but they were seeking, and maybe that's where you are in your life. Maybe you're in a position where you are seeking out God's answer. You're seeking out God to work in a miraculous way in your life. Maybe you've been praying diligently for God to do something. You are waiting for an answer. Now, the wise men had to wait 500 years. God doesn't always work on our time frame, but God always works. Be patient and be faithful. Maybe you're a seeker who is seeking. And be prepared for when that message comes. You may not know when, you may know how. May even be at a convenient time. But listen, because the path to Jesus starts with hearing. Second part of that is we hear, then what we come. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will give, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, "Come." Come. You know, just as we talked about before, Jesus isn't hard to find. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to change you if you will come to him. The shepherds up on that hill could have stayed. But they followed the message. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They could have said, "No, we're not going to go. We're too tired. We'll do it in the morning." But they didn't. When God reached down into their life, they followed him. They came. Same thing with the wise men. They traveled up. They left Babylon, moved on up. And because they knew a king was going to be born, he showed up in the palace. And they said, "Hey, Herod, the king's supposed to be born. Where is he?" And Herod's like, "Wait a minute, I'm the king. No one told me about this." So Herod called for the scribes and said, "Oh yeah, the Bible says that he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem." You know what's really sad? Those that were responsible for handling God's word, those that had the truth, did they go? They didn't go. See, there's a lot of people who say that I want God, but I want God on my terms. There's a lot of people who say, I want this God thing, but I don't want to be faithful. I don't want to be committed. I'm not going to come. So the wise men here were told, go check out Bethlehem. And they came out. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is interesting because they showed up at the wrong place and then they got the new message and they diligently wanted to be where God was. They came. And like I said, there's a lot of people who don't want to. Jesus' ministry at one point was teaching some things that people found hard. John chapter 6, verse 60 says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." See, there's a lot of people who start on the path to Jesus, but soon walk off. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe it's too difficult. Sometimes there's people who, in the midst of it all, they'll come because there's a need. I need God. But when God satisfies that need, they don't need him anymore. God's a convenient bailout for them. Jesus talked about several types of people who start this journey, who walk away. Matthew 13 talks about the parable of the sower. It talks about a sower went out to sow, and some seed fell on the wayside. Some fell on the hard, stony ground. This is the word of God going out. The message goes out, and their hearts are hard. It never takes root. Some people are likened to stony ground, that in here, the word hits, and it goes in and takes a little bit of a root, but doesn't go very deep, and it withers away. Bible says some fell among thorns and talks about that grows up and chokes out the plant. They're the cares of this world. There's some people who start off following Jesus, but the cares and burdens of this world overwhelm them and they stop. And Jesus then talks about the last group. We talk about the good ground. The magi were good ground. They followed and they came. The shepherds were good ground. They heard the message and they went. Lord, I want to be good ground. That, Lord, when you speak, I'm listening. And I will do what you tell me to do. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Lord, that's what I want. Because that's the path to Jesus. I hear, then I come. And the last point is that they responded to that message. They responded. And people respond in different ways to God's call. But truly, if we want to be followers of Christ, it has to have some kind of impact on my life. There should be some difference in my life. We see this sort of a difference here between the shepherds and the wise men. The shepherds, they testified. Let me show you what I mean. In Luke chapter 2, it says, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which were told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds." That here, the shepherds were obedient and they came to Jesus and they were so overwhelmed with joy, they had to go out and tell someone else.
See, Christianity isn't the special club that, oh, I got it all figured out and I hide it among myself. No, we're told to go out and share. To share the gospel. To share the good news that Jesus came. That we start others on this path. What? By them listening, right? Well, because we're speaking. Our goal should be pointing other people on the path. Here they were, the shepherds, going up through. Woohoo! Look at this! And they went around telling everyone, hey, go check out the stable. Go check them out. They started this whole process all over again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And those that heard had a choice to go. Now, what's sad is, nowhere in Scripture do we have where any of the ones that heard went. Can I tell you something? The sad truth that many who hear the gospel message will do nothing about it. There's so many people who will celebrate Christmas, who realize that Christmas will say this is when Jesus was born, but will do nothing with the Jesus that was born. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds pretty narrow. Once again, that's the truth. The shepherds responded. They testified. The Magi are slightly different. Their response was they changed directions. Now remember, they saw the star, right? They heard the prophecies, they responded, and they said, oh, there's a king, so they showed up at the palace. Oh, wrong place. The scribes told them, oh, go to Bethlehem, and what did they do? They changed directions and headed down to Bethlehem. They get down to Bethlehem, they find the child, they give him their presents. And then it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. See, Herod said, hey, when you find this king of the Jews, you come tell me so I can go worship him. Well, no, he just wanted to go kill him. And God warned the wise men and said, hey, go home a different way. Can I tell you something? When we hear God's words and when we come to him, sometimes what God demands of us is for us to change directions. Maybe God wants us to stop doing what we're doing and do something else. Maybe he wants to change us, right? Take away our circumstances. Maybe in here to give up our sin. Maybe our response needs to be, God, make me different. Help me do things different. Instead of going back to the same thing over and over and over again. And the wise men were receptive to that message and were willing to change their direction instead of continuing on the way they were. Oh Lord, help me be like a wise man. Let me change what I need to change. Was it Einstein who said insanity's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? And sometimes we get into the routine of sin. Maybe we get into that comfort zone. It's amazing how comfortable we get in our routines that are damaging to us, that aren't helpful in our walk with the Lord. And I need to change directions. God, show me. Let me listen to you. Let me follow you. And Lord, wherever that leads. And maybe it's a different path than what you're on. But I can guarantee you, folks, it's a better path. Because God wants what's best for you. Turn from your sin. Turn from your old ways. And follow him. Maybe you're sitting here and you've heard Jesus says, come. And what's your response going to be? Paul told the Corinthians this, for I say in an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, the best thing you could do, the best Christmas gift you can make sure of, that you're right with God. that Jesus says that he loves you. He came to this world, lived a life without sin, that he may take your sins, and he paid for that upon the cross. It's so amazing how closely tied Easter is with Christmas. Christmas, he came. On Easter, he died for you. And the Bible says that if you will accept him, ask him into your heart and your life, he will forgive you of your sins, and he will take your name and write it in his book, that you will become his child and you will have an eternity with him. That's the gospel message. You heard it. He beckons you to come. What's your response? Today is that day of salvation. And maybe you've already made that decision. Folks, we can go into this Christmas season rejoicing that we heard, we came, and now we respond to him. That in here, that Christmas becomes that time of renewing, of that commitment of what he did for us. That, Lord, help me to follow you until you come again. See, the blessed thing about Christmas is that reminder that he came, but the Bible says he's going to come again. And just as sure he came the first time, he is going to come again. And folks, I'm not a prophet, but if I look at the signs, I believe he's coming back soon. May he find me faithful in following him. And maybe that will interrupt my life, and so be it. Maybe he's asking me to change direction. So be it, Lord. Help me to follow you. Because, Lord, I want to come and I want to adore you. I want to worship you, not just with words, but with my life. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, as we come into this Christmas season, that reminder that you came, but you came to die for our sins. Lord, I thank you for the response in my life. Lord, I have accepted you, and you have forgiven me, and I belong to you. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know that, today is that day of salvation. Lord, they will just open their hearts. And Lord, I ask you to believe that you died on the cross for their sins. You died, you was buried, and rose again. That Lord, you come into our lives, forgive us, and we belong to you. For those of us Christians, Lord, I pray that this will be a season of renewal to follow you. Lord, interrupt our lives, change our plans. Lord, just help me to be submissive to you, Lord, and help me to follow. Help me to follow, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.